Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to three social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. Speaking of the website, as a housekeeping note, if you have heard me talking on the last two episodes about buymeacoffee.com/BruceW, a button for that has been added to the Meet the Host page on catholicsportsradio.net, which is in the About section. There are also links for the Buy Me a Coffee activity in social media posts that I put up on October 21st. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. If I was an athlete, I definitely would have been scratched from the lineup last week. I did not put this on social media anywhere, but last Monday, October 24th, I spent half the day at the hospital for a four-hour heart-related procedure. If you have been listening to this show long enough, you know that unfortunately I have quite a lengthy cardiac history, which includes two open heart surgeries and two strokes. Plus, I have been in chronic AFib for 22 years now and have an artificial valve that's about to have its 28th birthday in December. One of the nurses was talking with me about how she sees patients like me that really put what she thinks are her problems into perspective. With the concussions that we've been seeing in the NFL this season, we get reminded that sports are fun to watch, but careers can be short-lived. They are temporary. I can speak from firsthand experience that it's tough when you're in the moment to not look beyond something that really can overwhelm you. But in the Bible, there is a message we can learn from in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We read in verses 17 and 18, quote, "For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was a longtime soccer player as a student athlete, ranging from club teams to high school to rec leagues while attending college. As an adult, he coached soccer as well. As he was discerning the priesthood, he became interested in running, eventually training to run a half marathon. He wrote a book called Touched by a Flame, a true story of one man's journey in the world of God, which includes his experience running and training. He also has a side business inspired by his interest in the saints. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Patrick Pulis.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to be part of the show.
Glad to have you here, Patrick. Thank you so much. If I properly used context clues in my reading, in my research preparing for today, I believe you were born and raised in Colorado. If that's true, where in Colorado, but then also what was the family size? Where did you fall among any siblings? And what was the presence of the Catholic faith like in the household?
Yeah, so I was born in Thornton, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver, and lived most of my life in the little town Larkspur, Colorado. And my parents were actually born in Slovakia and Czech Republic, so I also grew up with that culture around me, speaking that language as well. And we grew up as Catholics, but I would call us more nominal Catholics, just in name only, or going to a mass weekends, but not really living it out in the day-to-day activities of our life. Hmm. And I began to get interested in it as I grew up, especially around confirmation, and I started really growing, really started to wish to read the Bible fully through, and started reading and watching shows like Jesus of Nazareth by Franco Zeffirelli, my favorite movie. So I really started growing in my faith then.
And how many of there were you? How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Yes, there was my sister, older sister, Michelle, and I had a younger brother, a year and a half younger, Andrew. So I was right in the middle.
Okay. I mentioned in the intro that you played soccer as a student athlete, but you actually got started into the sport really young, correct? And then stuck with it. And tell us all that, including how soccer came to be the sport you took to at such a young age.
Yeah, so my parents introduced us, my brother and I, to play soccer at a young age. My brother was 4 and I was 5. And so we just started playing ever since. I remember famously the kids nicknaming me the Shark, you know, as I was scoring goals as a little kid and having a lot of fun. My dad would always give us $1 every time we scored a goal. So that, you can see, gave us incentive to try scoring as many goals as possible.
Interesting. Well, let's fast forward to your college years. What school did you attend and what were you doing both faith-wise and sports-wise while you were in college?
Actually, I'd like to talk about a little bit about the high school years. I continued playing soccer even through high school and playing club during those years. I was on a club called Storm here in Colorado, and during my high school years, I was actually my sophomore year, I was the highest scoring player of scoring 8 goals in the season. And yes, I do believe my dad did give me those $8. but I continued on in college as well. And because I went to CU Boulder, University of Colorado at Boulder, and they didn't really have a league for men at the time. They had a female, but we did play rec league and played a lot of indoor soccer at that time. Hmm. It was a lot of fun to join friends and to play it a little bit less competitively. But of course, it was definitely a lot of competitive going on with the college students there as well.
And how about on the faith side? What did your faith life look like while you were attending college?
Yeah, so actually, my faith life really grew tremendously during my college years. I, for the first time, started attending Mass daily. Now, when I was younger and I could drive, first started to drive, I would go to Mass normally by myself to go to Mass. But now at college, I would go to Mass almost daily, and a lot of times go to adoration. A lot of times it would be a few times a week. I would go for a holy hour. And I was also involved with FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And I was leading a Bible study at that time.
Wow.
And it was just the greatest years of my life to really develop in my faith life, to see others surrounded and joining me in that journey, in that pursuit of holiness.
So then I'm thinking that it was after you finished college that you felt what might have been a call to the priesthood and thus took steps to discern that?
It actually happened during college. I met a group, the Sodalicium, which is a apostolic lay society of apostolic lay men and women that it's kind of like a new order in the church. And their charisms were really working with the poor and doing apostolic work, which is evangelizing and working on bringing people to the faith. So I met them at the university, and I actually had spiritual direction with some of the laymen, the consecrated laymen and the priests. And I actually went up to St. Mala's, which is the retreat center up in the mountains. At this moment, it's been destroyed. The center has been destroyed, but the chapel on the rock is still there. Very beautiful, one of the most photographed areas in Colorado. And it was a site where JP2, Pope John Paul II, came to Colorado to visit. And he stayed there at that retreat center, and they even had a room dedicated to him. So I ended up going from spending my last year up at this retreat center and spending it with these consecrated men and priests. And I really felt the calling to go down to Peru and join them. I did a vigil, an all-night vigil, where I really discerned and prayed, and I felt as if God lifted a lot of weight upon me. And as I started to think, not just what other people wanted me or even what I wanted myself, but I started opening myself up to what God's will and his plan is. And so I went down to Peru for 3 years, and I was really involved there in doing formation for those years.
And as I only very briefly teased in the intro, there ended up being a lot of physical fitness while you were in Peru too, yes?
Yes, we had both physical and spiritual fitness. Now, you wouldn't normally think as a priest or somebody going through this through seminary or formation would have a physical aspect, but we did. We exercised daily, sometimes twice or three times a day. Sometimes we would always have time when we would do sit-ups and push-ups and go swim in the ocean. We were right next to the ocean, so we would go swim in the ocean sometimes for a lengthy period of time. And other times we would go and we would run a few miles across this little town that we were at, and we were really working on our physical fitness. And as part of the idea of the Soto Elysium, that we as humans are, physical human beings, but we're also spiritual. And so that physical and spiritual is very important to form both areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up having a schedule of doing over 500 push-ups at one point a day. And so not all at once. It was very difficult, but we would break them up, as we were studying and praying. We would always find a chance to, study for 10 minutes and then do maybe another 10, 20 push-ups and keep on doing that throughout the day.
Mm.
So it really taught you to persevere and to look at a horizon, which is really immense before you, and to be able to take it one step at a time, one little chunk in that big goal of 500 push-ups a day. And it did teach me as this in spiritual life, when you're looking at something so overwhelming as being called to a saint, as all of us are, we're all universally called to be holy. And this this path of being able to take it one step at a time really taught me in the spiritual life as well to do the same.
Wow. Wow. I was hearing it all. I was hearing the lessons, and I was also trying to do the math and think, well, I guess 10 times a day you do 50 push-ups each time. So very demanding, but as you said, very beneficial both physically and spiritually.
Yeah.
And folks, Patrick also faced some spiritual battles while he was in Peru, which I think we would all benefit from hearing about, including, of course, as a sort of teaching moment, how he dealt with those. But first, since back at the very start of this episode, I passed along a housekeeping note about the website, meaning the button being added for you to be able to buy me a coffee. I also will share that I got an email from the Catholic Media Association talking about the submission period opening up November 7th for nominations for the 2023 Gabriel Awards, which since 1965 have honored, quote, broadcasting, film, and digital productions that serve viewers and listeners through the positive, creative treatment of concerns to humankind, end quote. They're pretty prestigious in the world of Catholic media. Winners will be announced next April and then honored next June in Baltimore at the annual Catholic Media Conference. However, there is a cost to submit what, in my case, would be for Best Podcast. While it's quote-unquote only $150, that's $150 that I would have to come up with out of my own pocket since I don't get any income from doing Catholic Sports Radio, nor do I have any sponsors. And this is part of why you see the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. There are ongoing costs that I face that unlike submitting for an award, are not optional. This is why I ask you to consider the portion of your tithing that does not go to your local parish or diocese, and consider making a gift to My Catholic Sports Radio ministry. I trust that you are enjoying the show each week, each month, and that it's helping you in your faith life, and that you do recognize and appreciate the time I put into keeping this going for what is well over 3.5 years now. If you do feel I'm giving you value and would like to help support what I do, simply use the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is easy and secure, and you type in whatever amount you're comfortable with. It's not a drop-down menu of predetermined amounts that you choose from. Alternatively, as you've heard me say that guests and listeners alike have done in the past, you can instead email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending me a check. I will, of course, say the name of anyone who sends through the Donate to CSR button or a check. Or, as some have instructed me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I mean it when I say that I truly am grateful to anyone and everyone who listens to Catholic Sports Radio, and I sincerely appreciate your gifts as a way of tithing and helping me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Patrick, what about it? What about some of the spiritual battles that you faced while you were in Peru, as well as how you dealt with them?
Yes, yes. And anyone who gives their life to God, you don't have to be a priest or religious, but they are under a focus for the devil to attack. And I did give up, you know, my family, my friends, everything from here in Colorado that I knew so and loved so well. And I went down and on a mission to knowing that this is God's will. And of course, there is a lot of spiritual warfare that goes on, especially when you dedicate so much time to prayer and to living a virtuous life. And so as I was living down there, I encountered a lot of emotional and thoughts and deep issues that caused me to worry some and to really go in sort of a dark period. And it lasts for years. But what helped me get through it was my daily foundation that I had built of prayer life, daily prayer, and some of the things I still continue to do of daily prayer and praying my rosary daily. And so I began battling these thoughts and these emotions and really trying to go through the weeds of some of the fallacies that I believe, some of these issues of worries for the future, some of the comparisons that I did with my fellow brothers at the formation center. And I really had to fight those. And of course, it's just like, and I think some of the qualities that I learned from being in sports really matched up with the spiritual qualities that was able to help me fight this. Jesus talks about having a firm foundation. Otherwise, a storm will come and it will topple your house over. And I really felt like I was going through a really big storm. But the foundation of prayer and deep, intimate prayer with the Lord really helped me get through it. And although the devil was near and fighting, I think God was even nearer to my heart. And he kept me going in places where I wouldn't be able to do it myself. So the grace flowed through me through this difficulty. And St. Paul talks about when he talks about the spiritual life and going towards the eternal goal, he talks about the analogy of running. And just like a runner goes through a race and is going for that goal, that prize, so is the same as a spiritual person that is going for that eternal prize. And he says, if we train for that, day in and day out, So must the person who's in the spiritual life train for his eternal goal. And so it's very, very similar in the many, many virtues that you have to be able to fight, to be able to attain both goals in both the sports and in the spiritual life. So for example, there's the virtue of temperance, and this is, a lot of people think, first off, freedom is to do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want. But freedom as a Catholic, we understand the freedom is more of taking, being able to do the good. And so it's not about just doing whatever you want, but it's about the power of doing good. And so if you think about it, it's kind of like in the temperance, you have 100 horses and they're all running and they all have really strong power to run. And now freedom in the modern world, a lot of people think that horses, you know, the horses should just be released and run in all directions. And that's kind of, where the freedom is. But as Catholics, we got to understand that we got to take our passions and some of our thoughts and our feelings, and we're able to take those horses and put them on a rein and direct them in a direction that we choose.
Mm.
And when we choose to do good, when we direct those power, those passions, everything that we have in towards the good and towards the ultimate good, which is holiness and sainthood, then that is when we are fully free. You can always think of like the runner's high when somebody's running and they feel that high. And you know, it's very similar of the freedom that somebody experiences when they do something good and they've directed all of their power towards that good. So I remember when I was growing up, I would always have to do those sprints, what they're called suicides, which is running back and forth from one line to the other.
Yeah.
And each one got progressively longer. And I remember I hated those. I remember I was going, you know, having to run those back and forth and sprint those. And it was just exhausting and toilsome to the body. But when you are training for something in sports, you are training for a moment. When you go through practice, you're training for the game time. And so I remember when I was training for those suicides, I felt a little more free to be able to do and control what I want, what my muscles needed to do during that game time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was thanks to that practice and thanks to that training, that formation, because we form our muscles, right? But in the spiritual world, we are forming our virtues and our heart. And even in sports, a person needs that willpower. You know, like I've heard many times coaches that say they'd rather have a person that is dedicated and has a 100% heart over a person that is 100% muscle.
Yeah.
And when we try to train ourselves, that's the same way in the spiritual life. We need to train the strength of our heart, so that we can do what God is asking us to do, what is the good in life.
Yeah, well said, well said, yeah. Well, I did not introduce you as Father Patrick Pulis, so we certainly know how the story goes in terms of the time that you spent in Peru, but talk about coming back home, and also, did you continue as a competitive runner once you got back to the States? Was there more sports ahead for you once you got back here?
Yeah, so when I came back home, I began running and training for a half marathon, and I ended up discerning. Actually, it was with the help of the priests and brothers that helped me discern that this was not the life that God was calling me to.
Mm.
And even after the pain that I had, because I wanted to be a priest, I found out that God sent me down that path to open my heart that I will be willing to do anything for God. So I also began coaching a soccer team. My wife and I coached our nephew's 8-year-old team, and we began this is my first time coaching after playing so many years. I found the beauty of coaching and being able to learn how to push each one of these children to their potential, but yet a constant pressure, but not overly pushing them to out of their comfort zone. So there's one kid that might have been, you know, looking at flowers during the game, and another kid that was really into the game. But, you know, but each person is at a different level, and we understood that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to challenge each kid at what they could take in the challenging. So it's not this, you know, one kind of, you know, broad training that each one gets, but it's individualized towards each person. And we ended up even, you know, we as coaches saw the value of having each kid play enough playing time so that there's no jealousy or unfairness. And so we played each child equally, and we ended up having an undefeated season. Now that's incredible. I never had that in my life other than in coaching.
Wow. And that's amazing too, because so many coaches are tempted to, I'm going to say, yell at each kid and say, what are you doing standing around looking at the flowers? This is what you're supposed to be doing. And instead, you drew from your experiences and said, okay, everyone's different. Everyone has a different interest level in being here. And I'm not going to rule with an iron fist and dictate that you have to be all about soccer and this has to be the absolute number one priority for you right now. So hats off to you for that, as well as for, in the intro, I mentioned that you wrote a book called Touched by a Flame, A True Story of One Man's Journey in the World of God. Tell us more about that.
Yes. Yeah, so I just touched on my little memoir that I was telling you earlier about my journey through Peru and the experiences. And in that book, I even talk about this miracle that I witnessed. And ever since I was little, I was praying for it. And in that book, which is on Amazon, it talks about my memoir and my journey through some of these spiritual moments that I had, the spiritual warfare that I was battling over and over. So I wrote a whole book. I had to capture it so I could remember it and to spread it for other people to read as well. And Bruce, you mentioned that I wrote that book, but I also wrote another book. It's called He Hung on the Tree. And that one's not on Amazon. That one you can find on my saintofthemonth.com website. And that is a book that I wrote that is a historical fiction about Jesus and the tree that he was crucified on. And I would make parallels between the tree and Jesus that would ultimately unite, and he would become the guy on that cross.
Wow. And you just started to mention it, but when I first brought you on, I had also noted about a side business that you launched inspired by your interest in the saints. So go ahead and tell the audience what I'm referring to. You just started to mention it.
Yes. So Saint of the Month is a Catholic subscription box business that we put together different gifts, you know, devotionals. We've got a planner that's coming up for one of our boxes for December. And we put together gifts, statues, and books to read about the saints. And we beautifully design bags that they go inside of. And they also have a spiritual plan for you to grow throughout the month while you're learning and growing in that devotion to that saint. So, you know, you could be challenged to be like St. Francis and enjoy nature and find God through nature. Or you might find St. Francis's love for the Gospels, and you will find a gift that has St. Francis's journal with his favorite Gospels written on it. So I put together these boxes, and we send them out to our customers on a monthly basis, and each month we feature a new saint. And it's just been incredible to grow in my knowledge and love for the saints and to be able to spread that to the world.
Yeah. And folks, I will put a link on the show page for this episode at catholicsportsradio.net both to Patrick's book on Amazon, the one that he mentioned is over there, Touched by a Flame, A True Story of One Man's Journey in the World of God. And I will also put a link to the website for Patrick's business that you hear him talking about, which is where you can also find his other book in addition to the Saint of the Month gift box subscriptions. Patrick, when applicable, I always like to close by having the guests share about their marriage and their children. And in your case, you have an interesting story, not only about how/where you met your eventual wife, but the significance of when you proposed to her.
Yes, I would love to share that. Actually, my wife and I met when I was selling my subscription boxes at a conference at Steubenville of the Rockies Conference. And she was chaperoning some high schoolers in there, and I was selling my boxes at a booth. And I met, it's funny how all these things just turn around in circle, and how people you meet, it really makes it a small world. And I met David, who was a guy that I lived with at St. Malo's, what I was referring to earlier, that chapel and that retreat center. And we were living together there and both discerning, and I ended up going to Peru. Well, he ended up getting married, and he married my now wife's sister. And so he introduced me to Rebecca, my wife, and it was funny because he was looking for single men for her to date. And my wife, too, was actually prayed a novena that she never told me until later, that after I asked her to marry me, she prayed a novena to St. Raphael. Now, at that conference, we never exchanged numbers, my wife and I, and so we ended up re-meeting on Catholic Match, and there we started conversing, and she never told me about this novena that she prayed to Raphael as she joined Catholic Match to find a Catholic husband. And as we were dating and months go by, when I decided that I wanted to marry her, I was looking at the calendar, sitting on the bed and thinking, which feast day, since I love the saints, I wanted to choose a feast day. And I looked and I picked St. Raphael on September 29th, his feast day, because he's the patron saint of love.
Wow.
And I knew that I wanted to love my wife. And so as I was proposing to her, I took her on this scavenger hunt, where the all day we went through the life of Christ from his baptism. I even made a meal with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and then we sat and ate it, and we went through the whole life of and death and resurrection of Christ. We went to the chapel and prayed the Stations of the Cross, and finally I proposed to her there, and I told her that I was proposing to her on St. Raphael's feast day, because she's the patron saint of love. And later she told me that she did pray a novena for St. Raphael.
Wow.
So our priest that married us, he would say, guess what one of their children's name is going to probably be. And yes, we probably will name a St. Raphael. So
when did the two of you get married?
So we got married in June 1st, 2019.
So are there children yet or no?
Yeah, and then a year later, we on June 12th, 2020, we had our daughter, Gemma Ann, and she's named after St. Gemma Galgani, who's the patroness of back problems and actually my wife's confirmation saint.
Fantastic. Wow. Patrick, really, really great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for everything that you shared with us today, and God bless you and your family. I really appreciate you coming on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure sharing my life with you and everyone.
And folks, as a nod to all the time that you heard throughout this episode that Patrick has spent as an athlete, I thought it would be fitting if we close this week's episode with a prayer for athletes. And so let's pray it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood that I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.